Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am your host, and I have a very multifaceted lady with us today. Her name is Diane Pomerantz, PhD. And spirituality is the passion of her life, and she has dedicated her life to spiritual study and research. A fellow researcher, seeker. She holds a PhD in mass communications from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. It was during her studies that she was introduced to Catherine Hayward, a renowned spiritual teacher, psychic, healer, and visionary, and mystic. She became one of Dr. Pomerantz's great and most beloved teachers and mentors, telling the story of her remarkable spiritual teacher from the turn of the century Wales, has been a labor of love and a landmark of her writing career. Following an out-of-body experience at the age of 7, Catherine awoke from her illness only to discover that she, quote-unquote, knew and could predict the future, and there is no death. Throughout World Wars I and II, Catherine was a pioneer and crusader who taught that the real you is neither the mind nor the body, but rather the power that motivates them. Welcome, Dr. Diane Pomerantz, to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy. My pleasure to be here.
Yes, this is. We have a lot to talk about today, especially
yes,
about the shifting. Let's talk about that, since I told you my right ear is all messed up.
I'll just talk louder.
No, I can hear you fine. I'm using the left one. But it's funny because our little talking before the show, you mentioned about the times we're living in. What do you think we're seeing right now in the times we are currently living in?
Oh, I think we're seeing the ending of one era and the emergence of the new era. And I truly believe that throughout all the chaos and tumult, like pre-birth of a human being, a lot of anguish, pain, etc., that we're moving forward out of that anguish and out of that pain and out of that suffering into what will be called an age of enlightenment. And that's my hope and prayer as well.
Well, yeah, the Mayan calendar talked about the end of the world. Remember 2012, December of 2012? And I think for me, what I noticed with the happenings around the earth, that we are entering a more deeper meaning of things,
yes,
not the materialistic things that we have seen. And what's your thoughts on that? Did you notice that shift in 2012 or earlier?
Oh, yes. And actually before 2012, the origins mm-hmm. of all that's taking place now. And of course, as I said, these are kind of birth pangs. ending the old institutions, whether they be financial or religious or corporate, certainly we're witnessing astounding changes and paving the way for the new. And the new, I'm hoping, will be all about compassion and kindness and love and respect for one another. And I think we're headed there. And the empowerment of women being another area of development. This is the first time in history. Oh, my God. You know, this whole movement is taking place, and it's not just in the United States. It's global. And I have a dear friend who works for the United Nations who has worked with empowering indigenous populations all over the world, and she's seeing extraordinary breakthroughs. So So my hope and my belief, actually, is that we are moving in the right direction and that what was must be destroyed. It must come to an end. And then that paves the way for a new beginning. And we are an emerging society. And we're realizing the error of our ways, the materialism, the corruption, the greed. This has no place in a future society where we're literally all brothers and sisters. And that applies to our creatures as well, our animal brothers and sisters, Mother Earth, who is a living, breathing entity. And we must recognize her for that. And now with the volcanoes that are erupting, literally, figuratively, etc., and the flooding that we've experienced, the natural disasters as well as the human-made disasters, are all paving the way for a new age, a new era.
Definitely. And what I like, too, is that truth is being revealed. Truth is coming out.
Finally, the truth shall set you free, right? Hello, let's wake up. That's the answer. And we're witnessing, ironically, everything but the truth. We've got the fake news, and we've got the lies day in, day out from government officials. This has got to end. And, you know, a new morality has got to take place.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could chat on that for about, a century or so.
Well, what I like about the Me Too movement, the women's movement, is I was an ex-Jehovah's Witness. I was in the cult for 10 years, and I left.
Oh, wow.
And there's so many shows, like Cults and Extreme Beliefs on A&E and Leah Remini and all that, and they just had about the Jehovah's Witnesses. I left 20 years ago, and I just started dealing with this stuff. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, YouTube,
that takes
XGW.
A lot of courage.
It does. It does.
It takes
a lot of courage. Yeah, I was... Oh, my God, I remember I wrote the letter. I disassociated myself, so I kicked my ass out myself, okay? I didn't get disfellowship. They didn't kick me out. I kicked it. I did it myself. And I wrote this disassociation letter to 7 elders. And I mailed it to all these guys, and I'm like, I'm sticking it to them. And they would not leave me alone. I'm like, you didn't pay attention to me for 2 years. I haven't been at your services. But the point being is they disregard women, and I think that that's another way the Me Too movement has come forward, especially in these oppressive, suppressive religious organizations that have the male hierarchy. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I just feel like
that is
not the way.
I'm saying it's wrong.
Okay.
I'm coming right out there and saying it's wrong. You know, we've been subservient, second-class citizens in virtually every culture for as long as time existed. And it's about time. We have so much to offer. And we are nurturers, caregivers, and maybe our path isn't linear, you know, goal-focused, as is the goal of most men or many men.
Mm-hmm.
But women are in the journey, in the process, and they take note of the relationships. And, you know, have so much to offer in terms of caregiving. My God. And, you know, there should be an equality, not the duality. And certainly we're different than men. And that's not to say more than or less than. You know, we are equals, and we're equally alive. So we need to be respected, honored and respected, as do all living creatures.
And if it wasn't for us, they would not be walking around because, like you said, we gave birth to them.
You know, thanks.
So birth is messy.
Exactly. Precisely.
Okay? I was like, dudes, you know, I would have brought you through, all right? I didn't have kids myself. I have 5 fur babies.
Me too. I have 6 fur babies and no kids by choice.
You know, and, you know, it was on The View the other day. It said about there's this movement about being child-free. Now, I don't have kids. It just never was in the cards for me. Well, I'm happy with that. But I'm telling you, you know, there's so much freedom taking care of our animal companions, which we will have you on another show for that. We'll go into that, too. There's so much we can talk about today.
I'd be delighted. Oh, I'd be delighted. They are teachers, guides, helpers. They're profound influences in our lives if we allow that.
Yes, they are wonderful. They are wonderful. Yeah, maybe you could help me with my Maine Coon. He likes to chew my cords lately. I'm like,
I love Maine Coons. I love those guys. They're great. Well, I love them also.
He's a dog, man. He's not a Maine Coon. He's a dog incarnate. He really is.
You know, a lot of people are saying that. that their cats are becoming much more dog-like, and it really isn't a joke because they're way behind in terms of domestication. We have had the animals, the wolf, et cetera, assist us in hunting and protection, and it's only recently that cats have been paid as much attention to as dogs, and they're responding. And it's taking a while because they truly are, as are the great cats, you know, predators and all the other things. But they're brilliant. They're brilliant, and they can be so loving and devoted.
They are. They are just wonderful. You have such a repertoire. Like I said, we'll have to have, I'll definitely have you on for another show.
So do you.
Believe
me. We all wear many hats.
Oh, yes, women are great multitaskers. But
yes,
let's talk
we
about
are. See, add that to all the compliments about women.
Exactly.
Great multitaskers. We are.
And we are. Oh, yes.
And we don't whine. You know, I mean, men whine.
Oh,
and I'm exaggerating, but, you know, a lot of men.
No, you're.
Do.
You're right.
And the women are stoic and, you know, just do it. The old Nike phrase.
Yeah.
Just do it. Get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have health issues. I mean, I have back issues, knee issues, but I'm getting older. I don't complain about it. Just like I get up and do my thing. I don't have surgery.
You just go through it and you recognize it and you send yourself healing to the extent that you're able and do the proper things as far as diet, nutrition, exercise, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, because I have a friend of mine. He had sinus surgery and he's like telling me blah blah blah. This is happening then. I'm like,
oh, that
you know,
can't be fun. Sinus surgery cannot be fun. Just the thought of it. Oh.
I know. I'm just like, move to Florida, dude. You're in New York. Move to Florida. You have no problems. You will not have sinus problems here. We're here to talk about a great woman that was your spiritual mentor, teacher, and this is from your book, Catherine, A Woman of Vision. Who was she?
She was an amazing human being, and she was, as you described in your introduction, truly a mystic, visionary, healer, medium, and a wonderful speaker and a wonderful human being that worked to promote peace since her childhood. She taught that thoughts are things and that our words are very powerful and that as we think, we create. And Catherine was born in Wales. In 1899, by the way, a time during which the witchcraft laws were in operation, and Catherine had contracted double pneumonia and pleurisy. Now, keep in mind the medical system in turn-of-the-century Wales, right, rural Wales, not good. No technology to speak of. And so Catherine had contracted this double pneumonia and pleurisy, and she was racked with pain. She was a frail child anyway. And at the age of 7, she was pronounced dead by her physician. And her parents were in the room when he made that pronouncement. And Catherine recalled leaving her body and communicating with what she referred to as angelic beings who radiated love and compassion and kindness. And she was so smitten by them that she never wanted to leave. She said, oh, now I'm home. This feels wonderful. However, the angel said, my dear, you have much work to do on earth, and this is not your time. Go back into the body. And Catherine listened to them, but, you know, she was very sad. She did not want to return to the physical body, which was racked with pain. So she heard her mother sob, and in that moment, she returned to the physical body. And from that point on, she was delirious for several days, but she woke up again at the age of 7, speaking in a full, mature, adult voice, and feeling very strange and knowing past, present, and future. So you can imagine for a child what that overwhelming experience must have been like. And one of the first experiences following that realization that she knew what people were thinking. She knew when they were pretending or pretending to be something other than who they truly were. And she recognized that she was very different than the girl that she had been before and started realizing that those who came to the door, the Williamses, the first people to visit her, and she was upstairs in a bedroom, and she said, "Mommy," when they rang the doorbell, "Mommy, those are the Williamses. They're bad people. They do terrible things to children. Don't let them in." And her mother was aghast. She said, "Oh, my God, the child's still delirious and whatever." Well, she went to open the door, and sure enough, guess who? The Williamses. And so they asked about Catherine, and Elizabeth didn't let them go see her because Catherine, as I said, was very fragile. And sure enough, about 3 weeks later, the Williams family was evicted from the community for child molestation. And various and other assorted and sundry acts that they had committed. And so Catherine, of course, was right. And no one seemed to understand what was taking place in Catherine. But she kept doing that more and more often. She would say, "Oh, so-and-so's not what he pretends to be. He's really this. Mrs. Abbott, she's not who she says she is, and she feels this way, and she pretends to feel another way." And, you know, they just didn't know how to interpret this behavior, as today we might not be able to interpret that behavior. But, again, as I said, the witchcraft laws were in operation, and Catherine started to predict the truth. And at dinner one night, her uncle was present among other family members, and he told he was talking about his intended voyage on the Titanic. And Catherine said passionately, vehemently, "Oh, Uncle, no, you mustn't go. Terrible things are going to happen." And something in her voice and demeanor convinced her uncle not to go on the Titanic. And, of course, the rest is history. We all know what happened to the Titanic, that the unsinkable sank. And so Catherine would predict mayoral elections and all sorts of local things that would happen. And her abilities expanded, and they continued to expand. And at the same time, she was not able to attend school. She was too fragile, and in truth, as I conducted my research and talked to Catherine, and I have 200 audio cassettes, and I do mean cassettes, not CDs. This was before the time of CDs, with Catherine interviewing her. And she had said that this power was something that she wasn't sure she could control, and so she started, and she was unable to go to school. So she was not able to read or write. And her father would read brochures that came in the mail and various literature that came in the mail. And some of the literature included works by Mr. Anton Mesmer. And we may be familiar with the term mesmerism. Mesmer was the father of hypnosis. And in the brochures, he wrote, "Tell yourself you can, and you can." And again, demonstrated that thoughts are things and that our words are very powerful. So Catherine listened to all this and absorbed it. And when a boy that she liked was paying a lot of attention to a young girl in the neighborhood, Catherine thought she wanted to get a beautiful new dress for herself and make this young man interested in her. So she decided to sell woolen socks in Gwaelodogarth, Wales. And she went door to door. She received the socks from a catalog, and she would tell herself, "I can and I will." And she sold all 44 pairs of socks, and she knew this formula worked for success. Anyway, that's the beginning, the origin of Catherine. And when she was 20, she married a young man, Percy Hayward. And Percy was very talented in his own right. And in the process of the marriage, Catherine met a healer who saved her father's life. This is all very eventful. I mean, there is so much going on. Remember, this is about the time of World War I. And so Catherine absorbed the healing abilities of Mr. Fletcher. And Mr. Fletcher healed Catherine's father, and he survived. And Mr. Fletcher had told them to get in communication, in touch with their spirit guides. And he gave them the proper protocol and rules as to how to conduct themselves, and that their spirit guides wanted very much to communicate pivotal, primary, fundamental information to them that they would share with the world. And that was the beginning of Catherine's life, learning about the purposefulness and significance of life on Earth.
Wow.
So there.
You got that out in one sentence. No, just kidding.
Wow. A lot of words.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot here. And a lot of that is, I feel, the basis for what modern teachers, mystics and that today, you know, Louise Hay, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, you can do it. Or
Catherine was a precursor, definitely.
Yes, yes. And isn't this also the time when there was seances and spiritism and Houdini?
Absolutely. Spiritualism was huge, especially in the United Kingdom.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of, because they kept showing me Houdini, whose wife, after he died, he said that he would have seances, and that Harry Houdini would, you know, contact his wife in some way, which I don't
think
ever happened. I don't think ever happened, if I remember correctly. But you know, it's amazing how, you know, near death experience, how we meet people that are in our path, and you know, can help influence us, and you know. I don't know about in your own line of work, but you find that people, when they're aligned with what they do, people, places, and things show up to help them on their path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a certain synchronicity.
Yes.
And serendipity that takes part mm-hmm. in their lives, and they know they are purpose-driven, and they are adhering to what their heart tells them to do. And, of course, intuition was at the very core of who Catherine was. She operated intuitively. It wasn't an intellectual process. It was a comprehension, an illumination, an awareness level. And let's call it that, an increased consciousness and awareness level. And so from this point of meeting with the spirit guides, it was very much a seance. And one of the first people to come through was Percy's brother, who had died in Flanders. And his name was Andrew, and he said, "I'm very much alive, Percy. I died in Flanders," and he described in detail the death and life after death. And he said, "Life after death is far more beautiful than you can possibly imagine, and I'm happier here than I ever have been," and so on. And that was the beginning, because they were able to recognize Andrew, and from that point on, the spirit beings assumed many different identities as teachers. There was Bright Eyes, there was White Eagle, there were many, many personalities that came through. And these spirit beings offered a body of information that served as the crux, the core of what Catherine spent the rest of her life teaching, that there is no death. You couldn't die if you wanted to. And Catherine always said to people who came in, you know, to her groups, "You couldn't die if you wanted to." And people were, "What? What?" But she was very dynamic. She was funny. She was witty. She was charming. And she was like a magnet. I mean, I would be walking. We became very close friends. I was her protege first and then her colleague. And wherever we go, people would find an excuse. And this was a 79-year-old woman, and I was 28 when I met her. And she just drew attention, and people would somehow find an excuse to talk to her, which really represented an exchange of energies that Catherine, as a healer, as a medium, and as a great teacher, would impart that love energy, if you will, and kind of help them. She would serve as a catalyst in a way, which is exactly what she did for me. She said, "I lit your autopilot." And I had studied with gurus and Zen Buddhist masters and read the autobiography of a yogi when I was a young girl, and had already been through many, many experiences, spiritual study, etc., by the time I met Catherine. And when I met her, it was as though I was home. I was truly home with someone that understood me far better than any blood relative or even any friend or colleague. And she introduced me to a wide variety of spiritual paths, including Sufi, Subud, Theosophy, with Krishnamurti, just so many self-realization movement. And she knew one of the heads of the self-realization movement, Sri Dayamata, and worked with her. And on and on and on, Catherine had studied and researched all these religions her whole life. And yes, she learned to read and write by the time she was 20 and got her first job in a jewelry store in Cardiff, Wales.
Wow. Wow,
she was amazing. And
she
so charming.
Yeah, oh wow.
You would have loved her. Anyone who met her, she was just so witty. And if you can kind of, I don't know if you know who Judi Dench is or your listeners mm-hmm. know who Judi Dench is,
yep.
but
mm-hmm.
She played M in several of the James Bond movies. And
yep.
Oh, she's just amazing. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and Elizabeth and on. But they could have been sisters, separated at birth. That big, deep British contralto voice. And then it's that musicality, you know, the Welsh kind of musicality. So she was a delight. She was very funny. And as I said, witty. And she could be cutting, biting, but never mm-hmm. maliciously. It was always in fun. You know, she just happened to be very sharp and witty.
So how did you meet her?
Through a college friend of mine. I moved from New York. I was born in New York, and I lived all over the country from Washington, D.C. to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to Detroit, Michigan, to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Virginia, on and on and on to L.A., spent 20 years in L.A., and when I first moved to an apartment in West Hollywood from New York, I ran into an old college friend, and she had told me about this incredible person that I had to meet who had meetings open to the public for free on Sunday mornings, who lived about maybe a couple of miles away from my apartment. And so I said, oh, this is handy. And I went to see Catherine for the first time, and she lived in this little bungalow in West Hollywood that was very British, very British, and all the landscapes and the floral, you know, chintz and the vases and vases of flowers and all of that. And I'll never forget when Catherine emerged. She came out, and there was standing room only. I mean, it was in her home, and she had opened up her den to her living room, so it could hold about 35 people. And I arrived early, and when Catherine came out, it was about 2 minutes to 11, and 11 was a starting time, and people were, you know, in the yogi position, and they were standing, they were sitting, you know, whatever. And Catherine emerged in this caftan. She had flaming red hair at the age of 79. She was very attractive. She wore tasteful jewelry. And then she started speaking in that incredible voice. And as I said, I have audio cassettes of her and also a record that she made. But anyway, when she spoke and she started saying things that, like, that there are no mistakes and that you're here for a reason and that there is no death and the real you is neither the mind nor the physical body, but the power that motivates them. And everything she said resonated with me. She taught reincarnation, and she said, does it make any sense to you that we would come for one time on this journey and that some of us would be quadriplegic, some of us would be royalty, others would be paupers? How do you explain those who are great composers by the age of 3 or 4? There has to be another explanation. And she also did a lot of research into past lives and conducted past life regressions, which I had many of with her as a student. But anyway, everything Catherine said made sense to me, and it's as though I had a checklist. And with that checklist, I kept crossing things off. I said, yes, she's right. And, you know, she said, we must have a world of peace, a world in which we're all respected. Respect is the key word, and love is the other. And, of course, what she was talking about were the highlights of a synthesis of all the world's greatest religions, whether it be Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, etc. At the core, the tenets are the same: love and respect, kindness and compassion. And that's what Catherine was truly all about. And she used her abilities. The second half of the meeting was devoted to providing ESP, to the people that came. And she would give readings all over the room, and she would just tune into a person, and she would tell them. And my friend Michelle came with me to the meeting. And when Catherine went to Michelle, I didn't want to be read, so I was, like, sending out radar, please don't read me, please don't read me, especially in public. I wanted no part of that, you know? I was a stranger. I didn't want anybody knowing anything about me. But she read my friend Michelle, and she was uncannily accurate. And it was as though I had just talked to Michelle, and the words that Catherine was using were the words that Michelle had described to me. And so, I, as Catherine went around the room, she did not go to me, so she caught that. She went to other people, and they seemed equally astounded at the words that Catherine spoke to them.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. So after the meeting, I couldn't help myself. I went up to Catherine, and I said, I'd like to make an appointment with you. She said, you have the money? I said, what? What? But that was Catherine. She was so direct.
Yeah.
You know, she had a lot of actors and people that, you know, iffy, as if they could afford her services. And she thought, people want to pay. They want to know, you know, that they're not just getting something for free. Of course, she would have done it for free had she felt the need to. But anyway, I said, yes, I do. And I started studying with her. And as I studied with Catherine, I was the best student. I mean, I have a PhD. You got to be a good student, right? And I took copious notes with Catherine. And I did. I brought my little yellow pad, and we worked together. And Catherine worked to promote peace. She had her groups because she taught that thoughts and words are very powerful, and that, of course, prayer must be very powerful. If we're sending thoughts of peace out to the world, out to the creatures, the animals, Mother Earth herself, that we're impacting the planet in a positive way, and we're helping to bring about peace. So there was a lot of depth, a lot of wisdom that Catherine shared with others, and I was the beneficiary, and I adored her. I just adored her. And she had held groups to promote peace on Earth two or three times a week. She had her Sunday morning meetings, which were basically word of mouth, because she had retired. As I said, she was 79 when I met her. So she wasn't, you know, working, I mean. But she had arrived in the United States after traveling all over the world when she was 60 years old. And she was never intending to stay here. But people like Angela Lansbury's mother, Moina Lansbury, Angela herself, Richard Chamberlain, who in the 60s played Dr. Kildare, Diana Ross, the superstar, et cetera, were the people that supported her financially and otherwise, because they believed in her work. So she had quite a celebrity roster of people that attended, and notable public figures. And, I haven't talked about Catherine after the spirit beings, but after that six months of communication, she was told by the spirit guides that she was now ready to share her knowledge with the public. And just miraculous things began to happen, including a place that opened up for her to give her first public talk and reading. She would read the people in the audience. And, of course, during World War I and during World War II, her gifts were extraordinary. And she was able to prove to the people in the audience that there was no death, that their brother, friend, nephew, father, etc., were not dead, and she would cite very specific qualities about the individual so that there could be no question that she was indeed in touch with the so-called dead. So throughout World War I and II, she taught that there is no death, and it was her work was hailed. And remember, there was no social media, so she wasn't a household name, but those in the circles of people studying New Age philosophy, theosophy, spiritualism, knew about Catherine Hayward. And she was a researcher, pioneer in the field, and she offered comfort to the bereaved.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, that...
You would have loved her. Trust me, you would have loved her.
Yeah, I have a big mouth.
She was fun! She was fun! She wasn't holier than thou, you know, and she wasn't sanctimonious. She was fun, but a truth teller and a truth seeker.
Yes, and we need that more so than ever in this world, don't we?
Well, precisely. And I want word to get out about the book I wrote about her life story, all 545 pages. It reads like a novel, and it was written that way, you know, kind of as a classic that people from generations from now could appreciate the truths in that book about life, about life on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's amazing. And Catherine, it feels like parallels my life. I've had 3 near-death experiences. The third one, I was like, they're like, you're not done. You're not, no, you're going back. You got a lot
yeah.
of work to do. Really? Are you kidding me?
But it's so much better over here. Why must I go back to that crazy planet where people fight each other and call each other horrible names? Why do I have to go back?
And people, we have to endure. I'm sorry, I'm not. When somebody is in the White House, that I'm like, I get.
Oh, don't even go there. Don't even begin to go there.
Any predictions on him?
Oh, it's not for me to say.
God.
But in the immortal words of my mother, and this too shall pass.
Praying to pass is real fast.
Right? That's what mother would always say when you're in a difficult situation. Don't worry, darling, and this too shall pass. Those are my words of comfort.
Yeah, my mother used to say the same thing. This too shall pass, really? Well,
yeah.
I'll pass real
when?
Quick.
I want to know when. Yeah.
Please, God, please.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. But we're combating all that ignorance, and that's what it is. It's
yeah.
greed and avarice, and greed and avarice and corruption, those are the signs of a very ignorant human being. And something else that Catherine said again, which I hope will benefit our listeners, is that a life on Earth is a school.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all here to evolve spiritually, and that we begin school in preschool, just like regular school, but we're in a one-room schoolhouse. And mm-hmm. so that you've got people in preschool and postdoctorate all in the same schoolhouse. And that you've got the people who believe in an eye for an eye, and I want this, and I want that, and I'm great, and I'm wonderful, and all of that to Mahatma Gandhi, and Mother Teresa, and the selflessness, and the nobility of spirit, and the grace, and, you know, whether it be Jesus or Buddha or Mohammed or Moses, these are the people that are our role models, and they are the ones that we are to follow and to become, and that is our destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not everybody's going to evolve or go through things.
Well, if you believe
way.
In reincarnation, you keep coming back. It's like
yep.
repeating a grade. You don't pass math in the mm-hmm. first grade. Guess what? You take math again. You know, you don't go on to the second grade till you've passed, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's happening.
Yes.
So,
well,
isn't that a great analogy? I love that.
Well, it's also, I feel like I'm repeating this lifetime because every time I would go through a similar situation, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. I
yes.
knew I had gone through it, but I chose a different, made a bit different choice.
Yes.
And
yes,
it
yes.
would go, the lesson would go through easier. And I'm like, okay, I guess
I think I'm getting the hang of this.
I think I'm just, you know, going through this and getting it done. And, you know, the karmic wheel of life, they call it. Hey, I'm doing it.
And you know what, Amy? I believe that people that have the knowledge that we've been privileged enough to have are the teachers, and we're here to help. And if we
mm-hmm.
can point the way or serve as a role model in any small way, that's why we chose to come back at this particular period of time. And this is the Wild West of our history. I mean, we are really, whoa! You know, it's never been this dangerous. It's never been this combative and divisive and ugly and crude, and the violence level and the potential to decimate an entire planet. You know, we've never had that. This is the nuclear age. So I think people like us have volunteered. Don't ask me why, and I won't do it again. But I could just see us all, you know. Oh, I'll go. I'll help. I
yeah,
want to help.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like I say to my guides and angels, what the hell was I smoking up there?
Okay. Yeah, well, we were smoking the same thing. Because I ask mine the same questions. Why am I here? What
the
this
hell?
This is absurd. This is absurd. But, you know, the people of like mind will be getting together increasingly and more powerfully, and we have a very powerful message. You know, be still and know you are God. Right?
Exactly. Oh,
hello,
yeah, I know.
Wake up. You are divine. We are divine beings.
Yeah, even people with bad hair in the Oval Office. Anyway, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
What people with bad hair are we talking about now?
Who needs it? He needs a separate office for his hair.
His hair.
Used to say that.
Yeah. Oh, a separate facility for that hair, yes.
Yeah, he needs to be separate, all right. Speaking of vibration, all life is energy existing at different rates of vibration.
Right.
Can you explain that statement?
Well, we know that energy is eternal, that you cannot mm-hmm. destroy energy, you cannot kill it, it will transmute, it will transform, but all life is energy operating at different rates of vibration. And so, the people that believe in UFOs or aliens or have actually communicated with spirit guides know that this is not believe, certainly, if they do not directly know, that all life is one life, and that sound and light waves were unseen, unperceived until when? 150 years ago or so? Yet they exist, and just because we can't see it with our naked eyes does not mean these do not exist. And, you know, again, accounting for death, is it possible that we just change our vibration to a more rapid one? You know, that, again, life on other planets or our spirit guides operate at a different rate of vibration than the human being. We're kind of, I don't know if stuck is the right word, but in this body, the flesh body, the human physical body, it's a very slow rate of vibration comparatively. As I just mentioned, the sound and light, et cetera, are far more rapid, and that as we evolve, our vibration rises. And the more wisdom and equilibrium with which we handle daily life, the more gratitude we experience, and that was another component of Catherine's teaching, that be grateful. Each and every day, keep track of all the wonderful, tiny miracles that are taking place in your life and in the world. The beauty of a flower in bloom, the beauty if you look close up to an insect, and they're magnificent. And you know, that whole concept of, you know, people have dominion over animals. Well, dominion has been misconstrued to believe we have domination over animals, which mm-hmm. that was never the intent. It was stewardship, guardianship, mm-hmm. and boy, have we failed. You know, and that's why our planet and the plastics that are filling our oceans and the extinction rates that are taking place as we speak, because people haven't evolved, and the rate of vibration of a human being is dependent with the evolution of their souls, and we are here all here to become as the great teachers have been. That's our goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a saying about cats, by the way. Dogs have family, cats have staff. I know I have five of them.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. They have dominion over me.
That's right. My dogs, too. I do the housekeeping.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what is this? But no, dog is God spelled backwards. And we all know, those of us, I do animal-assisted therapy with several of my dogs, and have done that for the last 30 years, where we go into assisted living centers and hospitals and ERs and care flights, because animals are able, with their vibrations, to de-stress people,
mm-hmm.
to calm them down, to lower blood pressure.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so we're just learning at such a rapid pace now because we have to. We're talking about such devastation that could potentially occur. We have to be learning at a much faster rate. And we are.
We do. We do. We have to learn. And I have a client that I recently spoke with, and her energy had shifted so quickly in the last 2 weeks. I said, honey, you're like a freight train. Nothing's going to stop you now.
That's right. And that's what's happening because it has to happen. Those
right.
of us who are near, you know, the goal are being called upon to share that energy, share that wisdom, share that time with those in need who are hungry. We're all hungry for that information, only we may not be consciously aware of it. And we get caught up in the materialistic trappings. We get caught up in the power, you know, and the arrogance and the narcissism and all of that. Like, I'm great. I'm great. Well, you know, you are great, but not in that sense. In the sense that God dwells within us as us.
Well, yeah, well, some people are great without their hair. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just make jokes about it.
But we, you know, we need to pray. We need to pray for peace and love in the hearts and minds of all human beings. You know, we need to send love out constantly to Mother Earth because love is healing. And that's what animals have, this unconditional love.
Oh, they do.
And
really
that's why they're such natural-born healers. And as I said, we're just now discovering that. You know, those in the armed forces that come home with post-traumatic stress disorder and find their sanity and their comfort and well-being with an animal.
Mm-hmm.
This is unprecedented.
It is. It is. It's amazing. It's
yeah.
It's
we're
like...
growing. We are evolving. We truly are.
Oh,
it's hard to see
I know.
That sometimes when you watch television. It's become unbearable.
I don't
you
even
know?
Watch
and,
it. I don't even watch
well,
it. I'm like, dude.
You know, I want to be informed, but it is so repugnant to me. And I get nauseous. I am nauseous every morning when I listen to the news. And I think, oh, Diane, you are such a masochist. Why do you do this? But I do want to know the events that are developing, you know. So everyone is different in that regard. And, you know, we all follow the path that we're on. That's all.
We do. And I personally can't watch the news because it just irks me. And I'm like, I just want to see the weather. I live in Florida. It's sunny today with a chance of rain. Okay, great. Got to go.
That's it. That's enough for me. That's more than enough for me. Right.
There's no hurricane on the way. Great. I'm going.
There you go. Well, I live in Dallas, Texas, and pretty much the same. You know, it gets hot in the summer sometimes, but today's 71. So I'm not complaining. You know, I'm good.
Oh, no, Dallas. Wow. That's a big state, too. I don't know how you get through that state in one day. If
oh,
you
don't. It's huge. It's like a country. It's bigger than many countries.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a big state. I have a friend of mine moving out of there. I think she's in San Antonio area. I can't remember. And Houston, it's one of those. You know, I don't know the geographic, but she's like, I'm moving to Carolinas. Hey, go for it.
Yeah, really, really.
You're going to love snow. If you got to love snow, you got to go to the Carolinas.
You know, we're all exactly where we're supposed to be to do the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
if you told me Texas, coming from New York, and Washington, D.C., and the daughter of a liberal professor, I would have said, there's not the remotest chance that's going to happen. Not in this lifetime. And here I am, 20 years later, in the heart of Texas.
Wow.
But, you know, I need it here. I wouldn't be here if I weren't needed.
Exactly. Like, I was pushed to go to Florida. I was in Buffalo, New York for most of my life. I was being pushed here.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to move here. That's cool. Got it. The angels were pushing me here. And now I'm like the happiest I've ever been. I'm like, this
and
is great,
And you know
man.
What? There's such great spiritual work being done in Florida. I have many colleagues and that live in all over Florida, from Naples to Fort Lauderdale to wherever, Clearwater, on and on and on. And they're doing great work like you are. So
yeah, it's a great privilege. And what part of New York were you from?
City. Manhattan.
Oh, you don't even have the act. You don't have the New York accent.
I've lived in so many places, so I kept losing accents. you know, and acquiring new ones. But, you know, I used to live right by the United Nations on 46th,
wow,
between 1st and 2nd, right down the street from the Peace Gardens.
Well, see, been in New York City once. I'm from Buffalo, so I'm on the other end of the state.
Yes,
so,
you are. Yes, you are. But it's beautiful up there.
It's a different world up there.
It is a different
world. You see, downstate, they're, like, so different. But anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing. It's amazing, the difference, you know, with areas. Any last thoughts about Catherine's biography and her life in general? And how was it like to lose a mentor? It must have been devastating to you to lose her. Or not
Catherine
lose her, but...
Catherine was a role model. She was exemplary. And that's not to say she was without flaws. She was a human being. But she was a great visionary. She always saw that peace would be here one day on planet Earth, and that peace belonged in our hearts and minds, along with love and kindness and compassion. And she had remarkable abilities, but she used them. She always called her psychic abilities a little fish to catch the big fish, because once she had proven that there was no death, people, you know, she would encourage them to serve as a catalyst for them to explore who they really were, what their purpose in life was. And so that was her message to all people: find out who you really are, and you will discover that you are divine.
Well, where can people find you and your book, Catherine's her biography, not her autobiography, her biography?
Yes. Well, Catherine's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all over the place, and Kindle, et cetera, et cetera. So I think people will really enjoy that. It's such a compelling, and people always write that it's like a mystery, like a novel. It's great, because she's in search of the truth, and she traveled all over the world, counseling world leaders and celebrities and notable public figures. She was in India, and she was hailed as a guru. She was in Ceylon. She was all over the place, and retired in the United States at the age of 60, but she never retired. That's a misnomer. But and they can find me on my website, which is drdianepomerance.com. And that's Dr. D-R-D-I-A-N-E, Pomerance, P-O-M-E-R-A-N-C-E.com.
That's great. Thanks. Wow, this has been a very enlightening interview for sure, and I feel like we're going to have you on again. For the pets, definitely. Maybe we'll do a back-to-back show.
The babies!
The
creatures!
The babies! The babies! Yes, our kids. We're all sleeping right now as I'm recording this interview. So,
so are mine. So yes. Are mine. I haven't heard a peep from them.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot to be said for a gentle rain and keeping them quiet.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, thank
They're
you,
going,
Diane.
I think it's night. Why is mine talking?
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Amy. What a pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to working with you. We're in
Definitely.
This together.
Yes, we are. Thank God we can make fun of people's hair. No, anyway, I'm just kidding.
We're going to have to work on that.
On the other hand,
we have better things to work on. So.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I'm Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy, signing out for next week. Look forward to next week to another informative guest. Thank you, and have a great night. May the angels carry you through.